Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
I am going to improvise. Yesterday was a straight-out linear show, and it was a great one. I talked about white male inventions. I explained why Foucault's pendulum in the Pantheon stimulated me. I talked about how we on the other side are gloating right now that the fools like Nancy Pelosi are just spinning and spinning and spinning. They don't know what to do. They're getting back. I mean, they're being hung by their own petard. All of the paralegal things that Obama did while he was president are coming back to haunt them, and they don't know what to do. And, of course, there they were. There was Feinstein making a fool of herself. I listened to her speak, and I said, this woman is nastier than she is stupid. Does she understand that Jeff Sessions is soon going to be attorney general and that there's a high likelihood that she may have to fuel up that jet and fly to an unknown country and never come back? And I watched Pelosi, again, pretending she's for the poor and the refugees. They live in gigantic mansions on Pacific Heights. God bless them. They arch capitalists, Pelosi and Feinstein, rolling in money like pigs and you know what. And they're for the little man. And you fools believe that they're liberals. So I guess the best way to begin is the way I just began, because that's how I was going to begin, is the way I began. So let's begin the begin by beginning the began again. I think we have to begin by going to Pelosi, who never fails to impress me with her lack of reality. Listen to clip number three with our special editions on the Savage Nation.
The Statue of Liberty, as we all said, is in tears because of what they have done. So this, again, comes back to Abraham Lincoln, who probably has tears in his eyes as well. This is about public sentiment. And some of the polling looks like, oh, I think what the president's doing, because they really don't understand. The president has made us less safe.
Sorry.
With what he has done. 900 diplomats sent him a letter saying, you're making us less safe. This isn't the right thing to do, but it is red meat to some of the people that he wants to continue to support him.
Yeah, it's like red meat to me. I feel invigorated from all the iron and all the other nutrients I haven't been getting. I feel like the vampire Obama injected us with a snake poison, and that Trump is the antidote to Obama's snake poison, Nancy. How could you not look in the mirror as you talk? How in the world do you get away with this? Can't you stop already? Can't you go home and make ravioli for the grandchildren? Isn't it time to hang up the shingle and stop it already? You are the funniest person left on the left-wing side. Can't someone young stand up who has some brains, who understands that the old liberals are exhibiting not only a mental disease, but a terminal mental disease? So she said that the Statue of Liberty, as we said, is in tears. All right, I understand it's a metaphor. We don't think that the actual bronze statue or brass, or I think it's bronze, is crying. But then she says this comes back to Abraham Lincoln, who probably has tears in his eyes as well. Okay, Nancy, Abraham Lincoln's been dead a while. He's actually not living somewhere in Washington. He's dead, and dead people don't cry, Nancy. Again, I understand it's a metaphor. Okay, well, there's no way to take apart what you just said. I'm not talking about Gorsuch. I know nothing about him, neither do you. Don't take any calls on him. I don't care who he is. He's a better pick, let's say, than some. I'm sure he'll disappoint us in some ways and appoint us in some ways. We don't know the guy. He looks like a great guy, and the whole thing looked like the Mormon Tabernacle Choir there in the room. There wasn't a single person of color. I thought that was really amazing. During the appointment announcement yesterday, I was looking around. Looked like a Eagle Scout meeting. Where'd they get all these guys from? Tall white soldiers. I felt like I was living back in the 1950s. It was shocking. There was not a person of color in the room. I'm not saying it should be or shouldn't be. There wasn't. How come Nancy missed that? Maybe she could pick that one up tomorrow. No, I'm just looking. I feel like I'm living in my own world where these people are crazy on the left. What's happening to them is everything they did to us for 8 straight years. I feel like I'm living in America again. And, of course, they keep going on and on and on as though the election didn't happen, as though they can overturn the election, as they could, though they can stop Donald. All of the tricks they use to get around the Republicans in Congress to allow the snake charmer to inject America with the toxin for 8 straight years is now coming back to bite them. And what's astounding to me is that the libs are saying, oh, they better be careful to not use the nuclear option because, when they're not in power, it could be used against them. Duh. Where'd the nuclear option come from? Weren't it you tricksters who pulled it off during Barry's reign of terror? Okay, you get it. I'm not going to talk about Barry, but the fact is they lost. And I think that the best way to keep going here is to keep going here. And I'm not going to talk about white male inventions again. I did a great show yesterday. It fell on deaf ears. Why go on with it? I thought that the genius of Michael Savage would come through. And apparently liberalism is a mental disease that has infected the other side as well. So I see that Donald Trump's people, including the peripatetic what is her official title? The blonde with the long hair is always everywhere. Counselor, the consigliere woman, who I don't know why it is she rankles me. Why does Kellyanne Conway rankle me so much? What is it about her that drives me crazy? Every time I see her, I cringe. My toes curl up in my shoes. Why is she everywhere? Today, during the announcement, the appointment, he had the stooges on his side. Okay, I understand it. One for the Better Business Bureau, Wayne LaPierre from the Rifle Association. You know, big, a religious group nodding at the table. You don't understand that. It's propaganda like all presidents engage in. And there she was again. My eyes searched the table, and bingo, there it is. She's dressed in some prim and proper outfit like a Sunday school teacher all of a sudden. She shifted from the embarrassing gowns and $4,000 outfits telling everyone who didn't have one to basically drop dead and go home and put your spandex on in your trailer park. This is the woman, by the way, who used the people in trailer parks to get Trump elected. This is a woman who attacked Donald Trump for 1 year straight on every cable show in the country. She was a cruise bot. She said Trump didn't pay his bills. Trump defrauded people in his college. She attacked him remorselessly. And then I wake up and there she is. Everywhere I turn, there she is again. Last night during the Supreme Court appointment, there she was. Everyone's sitting quietly, waiting for the president to come out. And there's Kellyanne Conway buzzing around, buzzing about, you know, hunched over, like running around like it's her party. What in the world is going on? Does Trump not see this? And while I ask this question, I ask the bigger question. Where is Melania? That's the biggest question. Now, I'm not going to go any further with this line of questioning because I am persona non grata already with the Trump people. I understand they banned CNN, and I guess that we're also banned by the Trump team, and I think it has something to do with the fact that, well, I guess I see too much. It's like the man who sees too much. And don't get me wrong. I like his appointments. I like the people he's picked. And everyone is far from perfect, and we are in grave danger anyway. Now, although we have many, many generals who look like great, solid citizens, and they are, and they have tremendous combat records, it does not mean that we are safe. And sometime during the show, if I can find it, I will read to you an email that I received from a former intelligence officer, who actually is an intelligence officer, who tells me that we're in grave danger because many of the people that Trump picked do not understand the penetration of the Muslim Brotherhood into the intelligence agencies and how deeply they have inveigled their way into the government. And I feel as though we're living behind the Maginot Line in World War II. And we feel as though Trump's picks have created a sort of a fort for us against radical Islam. Unfortunately, these picks may not even understand that radical Islamists have already penetrated the government and may be sitting right next to them. And incidentally, while we're talking about the Maginot Line, which was built by the French, it protected Germany more than it protected France. You know why? Well, Napoleon said the army that stays within its own forts has already lost. Think about that one, and I'll be right back to explain more about my machinations, imaginations, and ruminations right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Cacophony right now of the politics is kind of blaring in my head. I can't take it anymore. Sure, I got Trump elected. Great, I'm glad. And I'm glad he appointed this guy to the Supreme Court. I hope he doesn't screw us like Roberts did. I wouldn't be shocked if he doesn't. Actually, I'd be shocked if he doesn't screw us like Roberts did. So don't sit here thinking he's going to be Scalia. He won't be Scalia. I can tell you why he won't be Scalia. He interprets the Constitution literally, which is great, right? That could cut two ways. You get it? You got to be very, very cautious with your cheers. He's better than most of the others that could have been picked. But please, can we not argue over someone we don't even know anything about? Last week, no one heard of him. All the experts are going to talk about Gorsuch today like they knew him personally. No one knew him last week. Nobody ever heard of the guy. Never thought one guy with the microphone could be responsible for getting a president-elect, someone wrote. And they say not Conway, Bannon, not the Fox crowd, not Priebus, not Republican loyalists, Trump himself. No, it was all Savage. One man with a microphone. So that's good. So now I'm back in the radio business. It's not just going to be politics day and night. We won. For 8 years, we were just the outside. Now we're on the inside. So what should I do now? Sit here and gloat and make a mockery of Nancy Pelosi? That's not a bad idea. So I think we should mock Nancy Pelosi just for fun. Should we do the ban one? Here she is showing all of her senility in one place. Clip number one of Nancy Pelosi with cuckoo clock on drums.
We had this ban, B-A-N, ban, B-A-N, Bannon. On people coming Bannon. From Syria into the country, largely Muslim, and a prohibition on other people coming in as well. They don't want to call it a ban, even though they called it a ban, and they said the press called it a ban because the press reported on them calling it a ban. But that's what this is. And if you detect some impatience in my voice, it's because your family is suffering because our president is reckless, and his administration is incompetent.
All right, there you go. The wit and wisdom of Nancy Pelosi. The sage of San Francisco. I noticed that there's a big tower in San Francisco called Millennium Tower that's sinking, and it's now reached a catastrophic point where they think it will fall down altogether. To me, it symbolizes Nancy Pelosi's reign of politics, her and Feinstein. I wonder what Feinstein and Pelosi, had anything to do with Millennium Tower getting passed the zoning board, because it was a huge thing at the time. Has anyone looked into that? I'm not saying that they had anything to do with it. This huge tower is tilting, and the poor Schmendricks who bought $9 million, $3 million apartments in the Millennium Towers can't sell them. The lawsuits are going to start. They're flying already. The building may never be repaired. They may have to abandon it. And now they're suing. Everyone's suing. Suing, 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 suing. Everyone sue, sue, sue. Sues, sue, sue, sue. Run around suits. Run around suits. Lawyer horror stories I was going to do today, but I was afraid to open the can of worms on that one. Lawyer horror stories. Why do you hate lawyers? How have they screwed you? Who do you hate more, the media or lawyers? I think that's a fun show. But Jim, only take the really great cases of lawyers ruining people's lives, like taking children away, taking houses away, putting them in jail. You know, it's why we all hate lawyers. I would say lawyers are more hated than Wolf Blitzer and Jake Tapper together. I would say Wolf Blitzer and Jake Tapper would be amongst the most hated people in the country. That is outside of CNN studios. But aside from those in the fake news business, I would say lawyers are the most hated. And we could do that. Now, let's go back again. I can't get enough of her. Nancy Pelosi on the new Supreme Court appointment. She has no idea who he is. But she hates him already. Listen to number four with cuckoo clock on drums.
Elections have ramifications, and here is a living, breathing example of it. The president, in his first appointment to the court, and hopefully his only appointment to the court, has appointed someone who has come down on the side of corporate America versus class action suits on securities fraud, has come down against employees' rights. Clean air, clean water, food safety, safety in medicine and the rest. If you care about that for your children, he's not your guy.
Oh, there she goes. She cares so much about children. She's so anti-corporate, that old Pelosi. How does she live in a mansion on Pacific Heights? I mean, she's not one of the homeless people on Ellis Street. I know that. Thank God. She does very well for herself. How does she live in a mansion on Pacific Heights next to Dianne Feinstein a few streets away if they're so anti-corporate America? And they're so in favor of class action lawsuits for the little guy. Does anyone know how that works? Anyway, that's the story. Catch every moment of the Savage Nation right here on the Savage Nation. Phone number is 855-407-2822. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Big deal. Turn it off. I'm not in the mood. I see greasy hair, peg pants, bad cars, mean people. I'm not in the mood. I'm somewhere else. I feel like Neil Gorsuch and Anton Scalia were once fly fishing pals. Great. Glad to know it. Did he also visit that I don't think so. I mean, look, Scalia died under very suspicious circumstances. I felt that they killed him. I said so at the time. Learned of Scalia's death. The guy was snuffed. They thought they could put in a liberal. He went over there to that suspicious little border town bordello. I mean, border town spa, whatever they call it. Why would Scalia go to some seedy little hotel there on the border of Texas to begin with? Come on, you can't put three and four together and come up with nine? But this Gorsuch looks too straight for me to have gone to that kind of place. Plus, his wife is like a certifiable, like, cheerleader type. She looks like rah, rah, sis, boom, bah. I could see the pom-poms on Gorsuch's wife. Lovely, beautiful lady. Like a Leo, like a dynamo. A keg of dynamite. Like a perfect couple. No, look, Neil Gorsuch and Antonio Scalia are once fly fishing pals. I see that. That's okay. But I don't think that Gorsuch would have gone to that seedy motel there on the Texas border. I would recommend highly he never go there. Let's put it to you that way. Because the pillow on Scalia's head tells me it's a dangerous place. Fond memories of a day on the Colorado with warm regards, Scalia wrote in the photo. It was on a ski trip last February when he learned of Scalia's death. All right. Let's wish him well. He'll be appointed because there's no way around it. Who took Scalia out? It was a hush-hush death, you remember? Remember how tidy and fast they cremated him right away? Now, let me repeat again, since we're talking about his replacement. Maybe you'll remember now and put your brains in gear. Scalia, most conservative judge on the court, goes to a seedy border town motel on the border of Mexico and Texas, a ranch. He's found with a pillow over his head, which is completely hushed up immediately. And there's no suspicious circumstances about that. Well, let me remind you of something. If a stumble bum, a crackhead, meth head bum in San Francisco is found dead in the street, by law they have to autopsy him. I believe the rules are the same in Texas. Yet there was no autopsy ordered or conducted on Antonin Scalia. Now, I pretty much can figure, if I was writing the mystery novel, what happened. And they wanted to push in a judge to replace him before the snake left office. But the snake was blocked, as you well know, and now, of course, his rules of blockage have come back to haunt him. And so they bring up Neil Gorsuch to replace Scalia. Now, there's going to be a lot of other fights. That old monster, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, boy, I got a lot to say about her. You know, they're screaming about Gorsuch, he's this, he's that, and block his appointment. Do you know who Ruth Bader Ginsburg was and what she was doing before she was put on the Supreme Court? Do you know by definition she should never have been qualified to be on the Supreme Court? Do you know she was the chief legal counsel for the anti-family, anti-American, anti-military, anti-man, anti-woman, anti-Christian ACLU. And yet she was ushered right onto the Supreme Court, where she has conducted herself as the radical communist that she's been her whole professional life. And you never heard an outcry about old Ruthie Ginsburg. I wonder why there were no outcries about Ruth Bader Ginsburg and her previous incarnation as a radical feminist lawyer for the ACLU. By definition, she was an extremist. And by definition, extremists should be kept off the Supreme Court. I saw no such objections when Ruth Bader Ginsburg was nominated and appointed. So you have to study the appointments and who these people are to understand what's going to happen now. That old woman, who has been struggling with cancer for at least 10 years, she's not going to live forever. There are a few others who are over 80. They're not going to live forever. So Trump, Mr. Trump, yeah, the antidote. Trump is the antidote to Obama's snake poison. As fate would have it, Trump's going to put 3-4 people on the Supreme Court, which will be there for, these guys will be there for 30 to 40 years. That's all. So you guys on the left, you could scream all you want. You could riot all you want. You can yell all you want. It doesn't matter. That's your right. You have the right to dissent. You don't have the right, however, to block me if I want to go to an airport, or block me if I want to drive over a bridge, or block me on a highway. I have a right to run you over. And the cops have a right to pick you up by your dirty necks and throw you into a paddy wagon and put you into a tough prison for 30 days. We'll see how loud your mouth is when you come out of there. I just had the greatest soba soup from a Japanese restaurant. I'm trying to practice what I wrote books about. I mean, soba soup is fabulous. It's buckwheat noodles, as you may know, and buckwheat is a fabulous noodle. If you're Jewish, they made kasha out of it, or that part of Europe. But the Japanese also were big eaters of buckwheat, and they made soba noodles, which are very hard to find in America. And the reason I'm very interested in eating soba once in a while is it helps sober you up. No, that's not the reason. Not sober noodles. Soba noodles. S-O-B-A. Well, it does sober you up quite well. I didn't even drink last night. I had half a beer and spit it out. I'm a very funny guy. The day before, forget about it. I don't even want to tell you about that one. But on Monday, half a beer was all I wanted. But soba is made of buckwheat noodles. And buckwheat is made of, contains hydrocyanic acid, HCN. It just so happens that my PhD dissertation has a lot about HCN and its anti-cancer properties. At the time, there was an anti-cancer drug that had a lot of play in the media called Laetril, and it was only prescribed and given in Mexico. Now, it was said to be ineffective, and it wasn't tested and whatnot. Well, okay, let's put it to you that way. But the theory of cyanide-rich foods, they're not actually cyanide-rich. They're HCN-rich food, like apple seeds. Let's put soba noodles aside. Let's say you're an American, you don't want to eat this stuff. Remember in the old days, like your grandfather probably ate an apple. He ate the whole apple. He ate the seeds. Apple seeds are rich in HCN. That's why Johnny Appleseed, you know what I'm saying? So in other words, if you get foods that are rich in HCN, I remember writing about this for my doctorate. I was so fascinated by it. The theory is this, and I'm going to go, I'm not talking about cancer, but I, you know, okay, it's a discursive kind of show. It's going to go many directions, free association. So I'm talking about my lunch, soba. I'd rather talk about that than a bordello on the Mexican border, because I've never been in one. I don't know anything about it. I'm not on the Supreme Court, so how would I know about bordellos on the Mexican border? However, soba soup I do know something about. So my doctorate was in part about hydrocyanic acid and its cancer-quenching properties. Now, how does it work? Let's say all you're doubting, Thomas. Now, yesterday I blasted the whole idea of fecal transplants. So many people say, well, okay, well, you're against fecal transplants, but how could you have been in favor of HCN at the time? Because it's not the same thing, and there's a chemical reason to understand HCN. Please don't take the doo-doo callers. I don't want to hear those folks again. I'm not going to argue with people who eat doo-doo. Sorry. It's not my cup of tea. All right, so here's how it works. Cancer cells grow more at a more rapid rate than normal cells, right? They're living things. Cells are living. They metabolize. They consume. They consume things in your body that you know, your nutrients. But they also consume oxygen at a higher rate, faster rate than normal cells. Okay? Hydrocyanic acid, HCN, which is found in things like apple seeds, and in soba noodles, for example. I can give you a whole list of foods that are rich in HCN. Hydrocyanic acid breaks down into cyanide in your body. Cyanide happens to interfere with oxygen absorption. So, now follow the logic. I know liberals can't follow the logic. They've already lost, they turned the show off already. Okay, follow the logic. If the cancer cell consumes oxygen at a higher rate than the normal cell, and you starve the body overall of oxygen, which cells are going to die first, boys and girls? Why the cancer cells die first? That's the theory behind eating HCN-rich foods. You get it? So that's why I just had soba soup, because I diverted. I asked my assistant to get me lunch. First, I was going to send him to an Italian restaurant to get pot roast. But I've been so overeating the wrong foods, too much meat. I went so much in the meat direction because fish is getting me sick lately. It's all poison. I think all the fish somehow is, they're doctoring it all. There's no such thing as fresh fish unless you catch it yourself. I have a friend who's a fisherman. He told me that in the restaurant business. He said, there is no such thing as fresh fish. It's at least 2 days old. In the old days, I'm talking in New York in the old days in a fish restaurant, I think that they used to bring the tray of fish around for you to smell. Can you imagine how déclassé that would be if you said to the waiter, what's good tonight, and he says the bluefish, and you say, bring it out? And would they bring it out on a tray and let you smell it? First of all, it's unsanitary, putting your schnozola into the fish. That's number one. But okay, in the old days, at least they showed you the fish. They don't even show you the fish anymore. I know all you want to do is talk about Gorsuch like you're an expert. This is what I love. This is what you're going to hear now for 3 days. Gorsuch, Gorsuch, Gorsuch. Why, he's a constitutionalist, the perfect one. Gorsuch, 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 Gorsuch. No one knows him. A week ago, nobody heard of him. Gorsuch, Gorsuch, Gorsuch. Yeah. Well, okay, yeah, I'm not going to talk about it. Let's go to John on KSFO Line 7. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Dr. Savage, long-time listener, jazz musician for over 40 years now. And the reason that you enjoy jazz so much, as I told you several years ago, was because, like Charlie Parker and Coltrane, who are the genius improvisers in the music world, and, of course, then you got Da Vinci, genius person in the painter and the inventor, you got to remember that you're the genius improviser of the airwaves. You got the talk thing down, man, like nobody else does. And I'm telling you that jazz music for you is actual therapy, because of you're actually listening to it, and for in some consciously, I really believe that you're understanding it like no other non-musician can.
Well, I don't read music, John. I cannot read a musical note. I cannot read a single note. Think of me as an infant looking at an alphabet. I wouldn't know one letter from the other. So to tell you that I understand jazz would be making something up. All I know is that it shuts my brain down in one way and lets it flow in other ways. And it lets me it just lets me relax mentally. What instrument do you play?
I'm a cornet player. I talked to you a couple of years ago when your son was concerned about your longevity, because I believe your son had some of his friends who were passed away. Remember that?
His friends never passed away. I don't know who passed away, but...
Well, it was their friends' fathers.
Oh, yes. They were all dying.
You remember that? And
yeah, I'm the only survivor amongst that group of guys. It's very sad in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he's got such beautiful friends. I've known them since they're teenagers. They're like surrogate family to me. I love these guys. I only see them a few times a year, but every time I see them, they're in their 40s. I just relate to them like they're like my sons, you know. And I know, because they have no father. They look to me in a certain way that they probably are aware of themselves, you know. All right. Hey, I'm sending you Trump's War. Thank you for those kind comments about me being a jazz improviser on the radio. When I come back, I will not talk about Neil Gorsuch and Antonin Scalia. I will not talk about fly fishing. I will not talk about science. I will not talk about medicine. I will not talk about food or soup. I will talk about something else entirely right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. So listen very carefully, ladies and gentlemen. Listen carefully. If you haven't tried the new Esthétique XV yet, today is your lucky day, because if you call now, you're going to get to try Esthétique XV, the absolute best, most advanced wrinkle treatment, totally free. Plus, Chamonix will give you the Genucel plant stem cell therapy for bags and puffiness under the eyes for free. You heard me right. I said free Genucel, a gift with no strings attached, just for trying Esthétique XV today. Look, I happen to use XV. I use Esthétique XV, and I absolutely love it. You will, too. And they're putting their money where their mouth is. You will look and feel years or even decades younger with flawless, silky, smooth skin and no bags of puffiness, so you get your money back. So call right now. You'll also get a surprise, a luxury gift, absolutely free. Take advantage of this crazy Valentine's Day promotion right now by calling 800-SKIN-891, 800-SKIN-891, or go to www.xvbeauty.com. Order Esthétique XV Wrinkle Cream now and get Genucel puffiness treatment and a special luxury gift absolutely free. Order right now. Shipping is also free. That's 800-SKIN-891. Write it down, 800-SKIN-891. One more time, 800-SKIN-891. Here's the news of the day. Senate just confirmed Rex Tillerson as Secretary of Hate. I mean, Secretary of State. That's, see, they went around the rules. Exactly what the Democrats taught them. One thing that's good about the Democrat Party is that they're devious, and they know how to get around the rules, and they know how to defy the people. Well, the Republicans finally learned all of the tricks, so they're Rex Tillerson, Mr. Oil, is now Secretary of State. That's a good thing. White House freezes out CNN. What makes Neil Gorsuch so appealing to conservatives? Not interested. Trump's visit to Harley-Davidson canceled because of protests. Oh, he was going to go into the factory, though. That's nice. Ronda Rousey, I'm not interested in her. I'm looking at the news. You don't care about any of this. See, radio is easy to do if you just read the news. See, like I can go to any website, Drudge Report, headline. There's the kissing with the cheerleader, Supreme Court choice. There's the guy with the beautiful wife. Inmates take guards hostage at Dell Prison. Dell? Oh, Delaware. Police swarm. Now, do you really want to talk about that? No. Melania Trump may not move into the White House at all. Now, that's a juicy story. Sorry. That is a juicy story. She's nowhere to be seen. She's holed up there in the tower. Meanwhile, the troubadour is in Washington. And what can I say? I don't know. I think there's going to be a surprise come June. Let's put it to you that way.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
We won, they lost. I feel great. I feel relaxed because I feel like America's back. I feel like I have America back. The snake is gone. Now, the snake poison is still flowing through the veins of America's government. And Trump's antitoxin needs to be injected in many, many parts of this government of ours, but it's going to take a long while. Trump nominates Gorsuch. Okay, great. Liberal pundit. Democrats should obstruct Gorsuch because Trump lost popular vote. Trump says, I don't watch CNN because I don't like watching fake news. Poll says Trump has great approval rating. 49% approve of the job Trump is doing. Budweiser debuts pro-immigration Super Bowl ad. There goes Bud. I'm not drinking it anymore. The department, the DNC, that's the Democrat National Committee, has thrown out a candidate to become chairman because he doesn't like Islam, because he said Islam is antagonistic to homosexuals. Your Democrat Party has thrown this man out from becoming the head of the DNC. Instead, they want to put in an Islamist congressman named Ellison, who was once a member of the Nation of Islam. Now, how could any liberal want to put a man who was once a member of the Nation of Islam to run the party, the Democrat National Committee? The answer is because, as I wrote many books ago, and last book, and this book, and that book, and tomorrow, and tomorrow, and tomorrow, the Democrat Party is not the party of your father or your mother. Get over it. It's become a group of narrow-banded extremists. The most extreme groups in America have hijacked the Democrat Party. You have no party, which is why you may as well join the Republican Party, because they're probably more moderate than the Democrat Party is. I don't want to say anymore. I think I've said enough. German extremists suspected of killing migrants and Jews brags to inmates. Bring them over here. Bring more of them over. Bring more of them. Bring more of them in. Half of criminal suspects in Munich, Germany are non-Germans. Bring in more of them, Dianne Feinstein. Hey, Pelosi, bring in more of the migrants that you love so much. Why don't you take a few into your house in Pacific Heights? The day that Feinstein and Pelosi take one of the spare bedrooms, of which there may be 16 in each house, and offers it to one of the Syrian Muslim refugees and his cohorts, is the day I'll believe a word they say. Apple's Cook considering legal challenge to Trump's immigration executive order. Who does this guy Cook think the heck he is? In my opinion, Apple is a tax-dodging corporation that, frankly, should be taxed to the hilt. Every dollar that they have sifted out of America through their tricky little triple Dutch, triple Irish methodology, which runs in the hundreds of billions of dollars, should be taxed at 39.5% plus penalties. That's number one. I didn't elect Tim Cook to run the government. Did you? Open mic to Mike, 855-407-282. U.S. factories posted fastest growth last month in 2 years. That's good. Here's another one, another hater of white people. Who is this? Michael Eric Dyson. Who's Michael Eric Dyson? A host, a radio host? Said that whiteness produced Donald Trump. When you see Donald Trump, they said whiteness produced him. Whiteness produced him. Is that a bad thing? Do you realize how racist that is to say a thing like that? Now, what is the media becoming that they would let a racist like this on ABC's The View? We know The View is a rotten show. We know it's filled with the most hateful people on earth. The producers themselves hate the show. And who do they have on it? Anyone who hates America and hates white people. Who watches that thing? So then they say the best of white culture has to war against the worst of white culture for us to embrace it. What is the best of white culture, guy? Is there the best? Who pays attention to them? What do I care? What do I care? What racism? The bigots, you know, the racist bigots on the left are overwhelming. Race baiters, mind-boggling stupidity, drug addicts. How is this possible that the Democrat Party has happened to become this? How has it happened? Why is it that every black person that they seem to find for these networks is a left-wing fanatic on the communist order? Why is that? There are certainly a lot of patriotic black people. How come they never get jobs on these shows? Joe on KSFO Line 5, go ahead, please.
Hey, Dr. Savage, I was curious if you saw, the kind of political violence from the left that we as a nation experienced during the late 60s throughout the 70s happening under the Trump administration.
Yes, I do. And I'll make a further prediction that no one's going to want to hear. You want me to go right to the mats with this? Because I've said it 4 months ago. I'll say it again. Do you remember the killings at Kent State?
Yes.
Do you remember the killings at Kent State? Would you remind the audience what happened there?
Protesters were shot by National Guardsmen.
Right. And then what happened to the protest movement after a few of the lily white snowflakes who were rioting on Kent State's campus got shot by the National Guard?
Well, I mean,
the boys went to the barbershop and went home and became Republicans. The girls stopped sleeping with their roommates and got married and had children. That was the end of the protest movement.
I
didn't say I approve of it, but I say my prediction is, I'd say percentage-wise, it's a high likelihood that the left will riot. The left will get out of control because they've been empowered to do so by Nancy Pelosi and by Barack Obama for so many years. They're going to think that there are no consequences like the spoiled brats that they are. They're going to cross the line and do things that are so egregious that one day they're going to run into not a rubber, but a steel bullet. And that is going to be the end of the protest movement in America once they realize that when the rubber meets the road, so to speak, in this case the steel meets the flesh, which I am not calling for. It's a terrible thing to shoot protesters. However, if they attack people and they riot and they attack police and they threaten a policeman's life, they might just get shot, and that could happen.
I'm sorry
to be the bearer of bad tidings. Unfortunately, I was around during the killings at Kent State. It was in 1970, 1970. And we have not seen that level of reaction in our entire life. But there was cause for such a reaction in Baltimore. There was a cause for such reaction in Ferguson. But it didn't happen because the police have been largely destroyed in the United States of America, which is why crime is out of control. And don't give me the fake statistics of Obama's FBI that there's no crime. Most crimes go unreported. That's how the new FBI has been operating, especially when the crimes are committed by, let us say, someone other than a white person. The statistics are rigged so that you don't actually see the crime rates. I mean, you want reality. I can go from calm to another level. I'll give you reality if you'd really like it. Or else I can just stick to John Coltrane. In either case, I'll do the show. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. Edan on WABC, thanks for calling from NYC. What's on your mind?
Hey, Dr. Michael Savage, how are you? I was going to say about the documentary that you mentioned, actually. It was very interesting to note. I mean, I think you definitely should proceed with it. I mean, showing us, you know, details of hardworking immigrant family, how it was to be, you know, growing up, all that, living in New York. You could choose, like, all those places where you lived, grew up, you know what I mean?
I think it would be a great documentary. So my friend, who's a very famous cameraman, wants to do it. And I told it yesterday. He said, Michael, this is what you wrote me, outlines it very well. He said, it's a boy's simple imagination surrounded by nothing but chemical darkness and a dead end, and how you overcame it. So are you yourself the son of an immigrant?
I guess you could say so. I mean, honestly, my grandparents came from Transylvania. They moved to Israel and, you know, survived the Holocaust. And my parents are Israeli. So, you know, they moved into to New York, you know, like over 30 years ago.
Interesting. Interesting. Where is Transylvania? I always thought it was a joke. I thought Frankenstein came from Transylvania.
Yeah, so basically, I think it was back then it was Hungarian territory. Now it's situated in Romania. So it was always.
No, but when I see the prefix trans on any Vania, I start to think of something else now. It wasn't a place where the trannies went for asylum, was it?
What?
I'm saying it wasn't a nation built by transvestites running for asylum, was it?
I hope not. I mean, you
got
to be.
See, but at least you got a sense of humor. You're laughing, but wait till the liberals get a hold of what I just said. Savage is anti-trans. He went on an anti-trans tirade. Why do they have no sense of humor, the leftists? What's wrong with them?
Michael, I love when you use that voice. Well, is that the sheep voice?
No, that's not sheeple. It's sort of sheeple. It borderline. It could be sheeple. Robert, is that the sheeple voice?
My friend called it a sheep voice. I don't know why, but it's
sheeple. I invented the word sheeple 20 years ago.
Sheeple.
They're all over New York with the anti-Trump signs. You know, outside the Trump Tower. Trump's got to go. Trump is a fascist. Trump is a Nazi.
Oh, for sure.
Why do they look? As a Jewish person listening to the show, are you offended by Jewish liberals who equate Trump with Hitler? Does that get you angry?
I don't like it. I don't like it.
Well, first of all, it trivializes the Holocaust. That's number one. But number two, where do they come up with that from? I don't even understand that. I'll tell you what. I'm going to send you a copy of Trump's War the minute it's out, because it's going to be a big book one way or the other. It'll be a bestseller one way or the other, whether I get publicity or not, whether Donald comes on the show to say, Mike, thanks for everything or not. Whether I'm invited to the Russian state dinner or not, I don't know. You know, here's what's coming. I suspect that it's going to be a Bush 2. There will be a day that Trump invites everyone from the radio business that put him in the office to the White House, and I won't be invited. And once again, I'll be the outsider. And there's nothing I could do about it. It's so in my nature that somehow what I do makes me the outsider, even when I shouldn't be. It's the way it happened. There's nothing I can do about it. That's why I'm not that interested in politics today. I'm going to follow every little detail about Gorsuch. I'm not that interested. It's not that interesting. Politics has its limits. It does shape our lives. I mean, it motivates me, but we won. They lost. Get used to it. It's that simple. Can't you guys sit back, all you people who voted for Trump, and enjoy it? Are you taking pleasure that you won and that they're screaming and yelling right now and they can't do anything about it? I think it's a wonderful time to be in America. So you go, oh, wait till they get power again. Wait until the Muslim Democrat Socialist Party takes over America. They'll get even. Yeah, but enjoy the next 4 years. Can't you just enjoy the 4 years that we have with Trump, maybe eight? Stop worrying about 100 years from now. First of all, by the time he gets through replacing the old dead people who are on the Supreme Court or shouldn't have been there to begin with, he's going to have minimum three, maybe four conservatives, rock hard conservatives on the Supreme Court. Do you know what that's going to do for America for the next 30 years? It will disable the left for the next 30 years. So why don't you settle back and relax? Because you won, they lost. It's that simple. And by the way, I do want to talk about the Muslim issue. I don't understand how professionals who are of the Muslim faith or people who practice, who are Muslim by let's say they know they're Muslim, but they don't wear it like a badge and they don't wear it as a chip on their shoulder and they don't walk around in a burqa. They don't walk around making that their whole life. In other words, when you have people who are Catholics, they come out of the church, you don't know they're a Catholic. Maybe they have a cross underneath their shirt, but they don't wave it around screaming, I am a Catholic, I'm a Catholic, I'm a Catholic. I wonder why Muslims don't understand that the Republicans are the best thing in the world for them, given that if we were to flood America with these retrograde throwbacks from Syria, these are not the professional class that are coming in from Syria. Take a look at them. Why would an average Muslim want these people in this country? Think this through. Now, you know how racist it is to say that all Muslims are the same, which is what the liberal politicians are saying to pander to the Muslim community? That's like saying all Jews are the same. Wouldn't that be offensive? Or all Catholics are the same. Or all white people are the same. Or all blacks are the same. See how racist it is to lump people together? Not all Muslims are Islamists. And yet Obama has opened the floodgates fundamentally to fundamentalist Muslims, not the professional class that was once brought into this country. That's a huge distinction. This is Thelonious Savage. I'll take a break and be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Neil Gorsuch, I don't care about him. Why do I not care about the Supreme? It was done. What is talking about it going to do for you? What is talking about the Supreme Court? Like, I know the guy. I don't know them. I hope he does what we want. That's all. He picked the good guy. Terrific. Now get rid of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Let her go where she belongs. Let her go back to the ACLU and poison that organization with her snake poison. So NBC just fired Tamron Hall after 10 years of poisoning the airwaves on MSNBC. NBC is now moving to the right. Would you believe this? NBC is moving to the right. They want to get rid of all the leftist fanatics because they know it's not selling. See, this is my time right now. Everything I have worked for my whole life, the entire movement I created of Borders, Language, and Culture, is coming to fruition. All of it's coming up like roses. And there's no but to it. There's no but. There's no and. That's it. I helped elect a president. I've got a sterling career in radio. I got one best-selling book after another. So what is it that I want, I ask myself every day. Why do I keep doing this? Because there's nothing else. There's nothing else in the world. Do you understand that? That without conversation, there's no life for a human being. Who was it who wrote, I think, therefore I am? Well, I've changed. That was Descartes, I think. Well, I changed it to I talk, therefore I am. I really mean I think, therefore I am, because I talk after I think. My brain is running in the middle of the night. I wish I could put wires on it while I'm sleeping. Boy, that would be the way to go.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
You know, I mean, I watch Pelosi, it makes me laugh, so I feel better playing the cuckoo clock around her, that she hasn't stopped. You know, I wonder what motivates her to get up in the morning. You know she doesn't believe a word she says. She's one of the wealthiest women in history, making believe she's still a refugee. How does that work? What, she knows Sacco and Vanzetti personally? What is this? That's why I play, I mean, the cuckoo clock. Did you hear the play the Statue of Liberty thing again with the cuckoo, just to enlighten the new audience that comes along every 15 minutes. 03 on the Savage Nation. This is beautiful.
The Statue of Liberty, as we all said, is in tears because of what they have done. So this, again, comes back to Abraham Lincoln, who probably has tears in his eyes as well.
Nancy, he's dead.
This is about public sentiment. And some of the polling looks like, oh, I think the president's doing it, because they really don't understand. The president
right, only you understand
made
the
got it.
Right, the polling's showing he's doing well, and they don't understand. Only again, the deplorables understand, but not you. Only the Neanderthals, the knuckle-draggers, love Trump. Not the geniuses who surround you up there in Pacific Heights. Astounding. By the way, remember the Hobby Lobby case when the federal government forced a state to force some people to do things they didn't want to do? Now what? The city of San Francisco wants to force states' rights over federal rights, and you got idiots agreeing with them? Oh, yeah, I'm for states' rights. That's not how it works. We were told for years, year in and year out, whenever the snake injected more poison into this country, Obama, the boa constrictor, actually, the boa constrictor doesn't have toxins. We'll call him another kind. I'm not an expert on herpetology. Anyway, as he was injecting a snake poison into the body politic, and states would scream and yell, no, you can't impose Syrians on us. You can't put Guatemalans into our country with diseases. You can't take women with Zika and jam them down our throats in our little towns around America. What did the snot noses in San Francisco say? Oh, I'm sorry, sir. You and your little stinking town out there, you deplorables. But you see, when it comes to immigration, the federal government has all authority. That's what you said. Isn't that true, Mr. Herrera, the great city attorney of San Francisco? Well, now it comes back to bite you in the behind. Because those very same rules that you claim existed and used to let the snake put his injection of poison into this country is now going to come back to stop you from your lawsuit against the federal government. No, you will not be able to override the federal government. And yes, Trump can deny you $1 billion. And what are you going to do then? You're going to go to the residents of San Francisco and demand a higher sales tax and a higher property tax so they can pay for their liberal beliefs? We'll see how much they believe in their liberal beliefs when their real estate tax goes, when their property tax goes up 10% to pay for the downfall, right? That's all. So that's why I don't want to talk about politics. Trump makes unannounced trip to honor fallen Navy SEAL. That's a very sad story for a number of reasons. You see a man like this, William Ryan Owens, 36-year-old. I mean, this guy's a hero. And what is it that the vermin in the AP do in the story? Tell me what the garbage, the filth, the anti-American vermin in the AP story do.
An 8-year-old American girl was among 30 others killed in the operation.
Now, who's the 8-year-old girl who was killed? One of the 500 children of Alawahi? One of the girls killed in the raid was the daughter of Anwar al-Awlaki, a radical anti-American, anti-Jewish, anti-Christian, anti-human cleric who happened to be a U.S. citizen because of you liberal vermin. And she was killed in the raid. So now what do the vermin in the AP do? They equate the death of this nobody 8-year-old girl who got killed in the crossfire with an American hero. And you wonder why we hate the Associated Press? You wonder why we hate the people in the news business? You wonder why we spit on you? Now you understand why I didn't want to do politics, because underneath the surface there's a volcano brewing. I'd rather keep the magma a little down below. My dog just jumped up from his nap, and I really don't want to do that. If I could, I'd give a mental exam to everyone at the Associated Press. I'd give them a mental exam. The problem is the mental exams are created by people crazier than them. KSFO, Ken, line 4, you're on the Savage Nation. Okay, Teddy, calm down.
Yeah, Mike, the reason I'm calling is every time I hear you doing a series on modern jazz and progressive jazz, you never mention Clifford Brown and Max Roach. And I want to direct your attention to a CD of Clifford Brown and Max Roach in concert in 1956. And you want to hear awesome drumming and some awesome trumpet.
No, I'm not debating it. But what do you think about Buddy Rich and that solo that I played?
I think it's awesome. But I think I think you should listen to Clifford Brown and Max Roach in concert in 1956.
I will look into it, because I have fond memories of growing up with jazz, believe it or not. I got to tell you my jazz story. Can I do that in the middle of this hyper-political world that we live in?
Oh, yeah.
So I was a little boy in Queens. I didn't know music. No one in my family was musical. And then we had, it was a Dumont television, which had a monster speaker in it, in the living room. A big speaker, and it had some of the greatest sounds that would come out of it. And I remember it also had an AM-FM radio built into that television set. So I would often lie on the floor alone on a Saturday morning when nobody was around and tune into a jazz station in Manhattan. I don't remember the name of it. And I grew up on all of the names you are mentioning. I remember all of them. And I used to just wonder who these men were, what they were like, what they looked like. I had no idea who could make music like that. But it spoke to me. And I remember as I got older, I went down to the Village Vanguard, the Village Gate. And when I first saw the jazz musicians, it was another world for me. Stepping into that world from the green carpeted security that I came from was quite a shock. And then later on in life, as I had jobs around America, I remember one of them took me to East St. Louis. You ever been there? It was at the time one of the great jazz hubs of America. Just astounding. And I remember walking into a club. I remember I was a salesman of some kind. I don't remember what I was doing down there, but I couldn't go to sleep in the hotel room after doing my rounds or whatever, textbooks or something. And so I asked the bellhop, you know, he said, well, go across the river to East St. Louis and you'll hear some great jazz music. So I went over to East St. Louis and I walked into a black jazz club and I watched the men come in. And when most unpolished musicians in the world, they come in with beat up cases for their horns. And they would slow, there was no like big introduction. Each of them would mount the stage, open up the case, take out the trombone, take out the trumpet, and just begin playing. And to me, the improvisation that I saw there spoke to me in a way that to this day carries me some days, like today, for example, when I really am not focused on the news. I'm not that interested in the news today. You know what I'm saying? The doop bop ba, and that was my little monogram right now. A monograph. I just did a monograph for you, a verbal monograph of relating to you on the Savage Nation. That's why I don't want to talk about Muslims and Christians and Jews, the Bible, the anti-Bible, the atheists, the communists. Although I can talk about the communists, because last night I was watching a documentary, as I often do when I'm bored to death of everything that's produced by Hollywood, and I can no longer take the left-wing slant. If it's not good art, I don't want to watch it. If it's left-wing but good art and they leave me alone, I'll watch it. So I was watching a documentary, which I must have seen 1,000 times in a different form, about Hitler going around the Maginot Line and making a laughingstock of the French and the French army. And it was kind of sad to watch in a way over and over again, because the French had constructed in the 1930s one of the most technologically advanced underground fort systems the world had ever seen. And unfortunately, what I learned from the documentary was that Napoleon said that the army that stays within its own forts has already lost. So the French, in other words, I think they put 600,000 men to duty on the Maginot Line. Many of them, not at all at one time, but they would live on the ground, eat on the ground, shower on the ground, drive around on railway cars on the ground from fort to fort. And it was said that the Maginot Line that the French had created to protect themselves from another German invasion wound up protecting Germany more than it protected France. And it dawned on me that we here in America, because of our obsession with human rights, because of those of us who live in the prison of the absolutes about the absolutes of liberalism, where human rights trump survival, we're living in our own world, our own bubble. And we're recreating in our own minds this bubble called the Maginot Line, where we feel secure and superior because we have superior human rights to the throwbacks that we are fighting in the Islamist world, and we feel superior to them because we're not going down to their level, right? But in fact, it's forcing us to lose the war. And then I ask myself, why do we import jihadis mixed in with these asylum seekers when they've not been properly vetted? If we sit and wait for an attack, we have already lost, is what I wrote down last night. And that's what we try to get across to the good liberals out there who don't quite understand Trump's ban on people coming in from those terror-producing nations. What sane nation on earth would import people from nations known to produce terrorists without vetting them properly, especially when we have not yet gotten to the bottom of all of the millions who have been flooded in by Barack Obama. What sense does that make? You understand? So that's why I kind of watch documentaries. However, when I watch these documentaries, it kind of makes me very, very depressed and sad to see the millions and millions of lives that were destroyed in the war and the 40 million people who were displaced after World War II. I often wonder, could I survive such a displacement myself? And I say, what would happen in America if, God forbid, if something like this had happened? And millions of people were made homeless and had to march around the streets looking for food, looking for shelter, looking for clothing, looking for medicine, looking for water. I don't think this country could survive it at all, because the people were much tougher in those days. We are like lilies. We are like hothouse lilies in America compared to the people of Europe at that time. And how they got through the aftermath of World War II is almost a miracle unto itself. Take a look at Germany itself, I say to myself. After World War II, it was flattened. It had been reduced to rubble. So you say, well, they got what they deserve, but that's not the point of my story. Let's say they got what they deserve, to put that argument aside. Now you look at Berlin, you look at the rubble of every city in Germany flattened. There were nothing but bricks, rubble. Now, how did the people who survived rebuild that country, I ask myself? How the heck did they rebuild Germany? Most of the men in Germany who were left were either old men or infirm or young boys. All the other men were in prisoner of war camps or dead as a result of the madmen. The madman Hitler had set the world on fire with his madness. And who was left to rebuild a nation? That's the interesting question. Well, there's a lot more to the story than I can say in a thumbnail sketch, but remember this. Was it not for the Americans and the Marshall Plan itself, Germany wouldn't have been rebuilt? Was it not for the Americans and our genius and our billions of dollars, Japan would never have been rebuilt? Never forget what America did for the modern world, ever. All of you people who hate America and have come to us from those countries, before you open your big pie holes, remember what America has done and is doing for this world. That's all I want to say today on the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Dr. Michael Savage here, back with you on the show, talking about blood flow just for a minute. Look, we all know that healthy circulation is critical, especially as we get older. We know what it's all about. Well, there happens to be a natural way to support healthy blood flow, and that's by getting enough dietary nitrates into your body, which convert into nitric oxide. Superbeets is the easiest way to get these natural dietary nitrates. Just one scoop in water or a smoothie, and bingo, there you are. This is the secret to helping support healthy circulation and healthy blood pressure levels. You see, Superbeets works three times faster to give you results you can feel, and it tastes great. It's all about what? Blood flow, blood flow, blood flow. I take Superbeets every day. I can feel the energy and stamina it gives me within 20 minutes. I want you to feel it also. I want you to do what I'm going to tell you to do, which is 800-481-0504. You got it? 800-481-0504. What do you got to lose? Or you go to SavageLovesBeats.com. That's SavageLovesBeats.com. And what do you get? You get a 30-day supply for free with your first order. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. You're also going to get a free book called Beat the Odds, free shipping on your entire order. You're going to love the results that you feel with your first free canister. It's guaranteed or your money back. Again, how do you do it? Simple. You call 800-481-0504. That is the return now. We return right now to all of the stuff we've been talking about. Again, I've been a little off politics today, but really on politics today. And my friend Phil just emailed me. He said, Mike, when you were talking about the Dumont television and lying on the living room floor when you were a kid, he said it brought back memories that he had when his grandmother lived up in the, I think he said, in the Bronx. Yeah, I got to find the exact email. I think I erased it already. Eh. And he would go up to her place up there. Here it is. He says, I was a Dumont television kid myself, he says, Michael. My grandmother lived at 241st Street in White Plains in the Bronx. and had a big cabinet of Doom on television in the living room with a rotary dial and big speakers. And I remember the smell of the hot tubes in it and the sound of that thing. And then he says, Million Dollar Movie, Dave Garraway, Steve Allen, great memories. But, you know, when he said that, it reminded me of the Proust novel, Remembrances of Things Past. It was not Petite Madeleines that came to my mind, for those of you who know the literary reference. When he said the smell of the hot tubes inside that television set, I immediately remembered the smell of the dust burning off the hot tubes inside that TV. Now, think about that. In those days, all of our electronic devices had had tubes in them, right? They were not the circuitry that we have today. They were tubes. Can you imagine tubes? Imagine being in the tube business. What if you were in the tube business? What if those? I guess the tube guys of those days would be the equivalent of Facebook today or something. I don't know. Nah, it would be Silicon Valley, someone who makes circuit boards or something like that. So it's said that Bill Gates is about to become our first trillionaire. That's the latest headline. Good for you, Bill. Glad that you're a first trillionaire. How much of the money that Bill Gates is worth came as a result of hiring 300 to 400 tax accountants who used to work for the IRS and figured out a way to avoid paying their fair share of taxes from Microsoft? Can anyone answer that question? Because if you can answer the question, I'll recommend you to become Undersecretary of State in the Trump administration. I doubt very much whether Tim Cook, whether Schultz, whether Gates is ever going to pay a dime of all of these billions and trillions after visiting the towers a few weeks ago. That's all I can say. Have a nice day. I'll be right back. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Why does this woman keep going on? She destroyed the Democrat Party. They lost the last election. And yet she still speaks for the Democrat Party. But even worse, waiting in the wings is Keith Ellison, a former member of the Nation of Islam, a man with deep ties to very suspicious Muslim organizations, who wants to lead the Democrat National Committee. And I say, Keith, you got my vote. You got my vote. Keep marginalizing the Democrat Party, because that's exactly what America needs, to finally wake up and to see how this party has been hijacked by the radicals and the Islamists, which I warned about in Government Zero. So she attacks and attacks and attacks. She hates Pelosi, hates Trump. She feels sorry for him. So they do the fake town hall last night on CNN. And one of the audience members gets up and shocks her and says that he's a Lebanese-American who agrees with Trump on the ban. Okay? Listen to clip number 9. This is the voice of a man who actually came from Lebanon, as opposed to a woman who lives on Pacific Heights in a bubble and panders to immigrants because they don't even understand the English that is necessary to throw her out of office. Listen to number 9.
I am Lebanese, American, Muslim. There are countries that harbor radical Islamic groups and teaches teenagers to hate anyone who is not Muslim.
Yes.
How can you, it's all takes to some of them to come as a refugee and create a problem here. How can you guarantee the safety for all Americans if we let these refugees to come?
The reason I oppose...
Let's cut it off here. The cuckoo clock, I don't want to listen to her. She doesn't know what she's talking about. She just shoots her mouth off without thinking. So Pelosi poses a great threat to America because she brainwashes a lot of young girls into thinking that because she's Catholic and because she's a grandmother, that she knows what she's talking about. No, she's not your grandmother. Your grandmother would detest Nancy Pelosi, because she's putting you at risk, by the way. Most Lebanese American Muslims agree with Donald Trump because they know what havoc the Islamists have created in their home country. And so Pelosi goes on with her indiscriminate recklessness. going on and on and on, yapping along with Jake Tapper and the others. Here's another one. Here's a Syrian refugee, Aziz Wahibi, who agrees with Trump 100%, again shocking America with plain common sense in clip 11.
We are 100% with President Trump in redirecting the refugee situation, which was made a lot of concern. A lot of us were concerned about the refugee situation that was put by the previous administrations. Now, redirecting the refugee situation right now, especially with the new administration, is something that's very important to keep United States safe and to come back to the right track in helping the refugees, not only the Syrian refugees, but the refugees from all over the world.
I guess in number 12, she tries to counter him, a man who's actually been there. Is that what number 12 is? No, I don't know what 12 is. Anyway, the point of the story is that Muslim Americans themselves back Trump's ban. I'm not talking about the radicals. I'm talking about Muslim Americans, especially those who've recently come in. They know who amongst them, who exists amongst them, and they know it's more dangerous than you can imagine. Let's hear number 12. I want to see whose sound that is. I don't know who it is. Let me hear it, Robert.
In Syria, as we all know, there is a religious war. And the refugees that are coming to the United States of America, we have no background information about them, since there is no communication between the Syrian government and our government in the United States of America. We like the refugees. We like to help the refugees. We like to help the refugees going back home safe to their country by reestablishing communication with the Syrian government, by stabilizing the...
So the very educated, refugees themselves agree with Trump's ban because they have been around the refugees and they know how many of them are very dangerous. And again, I will refer to the most important book of this period, which is coming out in about a month now. It's called Trump's War. Because I have a big chapter on the war for our borders, in which I talk about ancient mass population changes, build the wall, the dream is over, disease imports still on the rise, how about sanctuary for U.S. citizens? It's all in this important document, Trump's War, which I want you to have as ammunition for all the future arguments you're going to have over the next 4 years or more. You're going to need this book for one reason. And that's to have the arguments that you need to fight with maybe well-meaning people. Maybe well-meaning people who don't understand what's going on. And that's why I rushed this book to print, frankly. I've been working on it from the day Trump was elected. Again, I got to tell you the backstory for it, because you're going to say, how did you do it? You said you wouldn't do another book. I'll tell you how I did it. I wanted to do the God book very badly, and I had worked on it up to 19,600 words. And then the publisher said, we will publish your God book, but we want you to do a Trump book as fast as you can, and we'll do both. Well, I couldn't say no to them for a number of reasons. They're a great publisher. Hachette's the best. And they did my last two books. Both were bestsellers. They treated me very well. The point is that it's an important book. The more I thought about it, the more I realized the people who voted for Trump are not finished. Their work has only just begun. They know there's a culture war. They know there's a civil war. They know that the war is going to escalate. They know that the left wing is very activated. They know that the left wing is extremely well-funded. And they need to have the arguments, because they may be well-intentioned, but they don't have the answers to all of these questions. They're all in Trump's War, and it'll be out in a month, and you can buy it on Amazon.com right now or BarnesandNoble.com. And I'll tell you more about it as we get closer to the publication of Trump's War. It's a very, very important book. And then, if I still have the strength, maybe I'll get back to the God book. Truthfully, I put it on hold. I haven't been writing it. I stopped writing it when I started writing the Trump book. I don't know whether God's happy with that, but I stopped thinking about him in the same way. But he hasn't gone anywhere. You know, he hasn't disappeared because I stopped thinking about it. That's my funniest, you know, thought lately, is that I was just thinking about it, about people who say, I don't believe in God. You know, all the people are, they're confirmed atheists. You see them all over the place, right? Oh, don't be stupid. I don't believe in God. So I scratch my head and say, wait, because you don't believe in God, he doesn't exist? You created the universe? You were the creator of it all? How stupid can you be? It's one thing to say, I don't believe in God, but don't say it with such force that you think, therefore, God doesn't exist for billions of people. God exists for billions of people. It's sad that he doesn't exist for you. So, you know, I'm glad you don't believe in God. Good for you. Get back to me when you're in an old age home and you have a few days to live. Tell me if you still believe that. as you're staring at the curtain and there's no strength left in your body. Who are you going to believe in? Who are you going to turn to? What would be left for you to hang on to? What would you have faith in? What would you have faith in those last days if that's all it takes? You know, they say that there are no atheists in a foxhole. I could say there are no atheists on CNN, but I would be lying to you. I would say there are only atheists on CNN. But the fact of the matter is, we don't know whether God exists, do we? Well, of course we know God exists. What else explains the universe? Chance? This is why I don't watch Nat Geo anymore. I used to love Nat Geo. It has become so darn anti-God, so atheistic. Now, you know who owns Nat Geo now. I'm sorry to break the news to you. Trace the ownership of Nat Geo. If I'm not mistaken, the fellows who took over the News Corporation bought the National Geographic Channel. Every show, one after the other, is an affront to civilization in one way or another. It's a group of crazy people took over Nat Geo. Either the world is coming to an end, a meteorite's going to hit us and destroy life on Earth, or there was no reason to believe in God. Then they have the fraud, Morgan Freeman. Where'd they get him from to talk about God? How in the world can you take a guy like that and give him such a position of God by Morgan Freeman? Well, they did that to rescue his career, in my opinion, because he made such an ass of himself during the election, showing himself to be quite a racist, by the way, in my opinion, in the things he said, that suddenly he turns out as Mr. Nice Guy who treats everyone so equally. No, I'm not buying it, Morgan. I'm not buying it. I remember the things you said about white people during the election. I'll never forget them. Nor will I forget all of the other Hollywood people who came out and showed themselves to be the bigots that they actually are. I don't patronize them. When I see their movies on TV now, I flip right through them. And that list is not too short, by the way. Used to love Robert De Niro. I won't watch anything of him anymore, not even a replay. I'll punch him in the nose. He's a mook. No more, Robert. It's sorry. I won't even watch the reruns of The Godfather on Christmas Eve again. They play it. Tillerson confirmed for State Department despite no votes from California. Ooh. No votes from California. Ooh. What power California has. Tillerson confirmed for State despite no votes from California. My God, what power you have in California. Just shows you how irrelevant this state has become. And I live here. I love the state. I just don't like the state of mind. What do you mean no votes from California? Who voted? Oh, Feinstein. Feinstein, because she opposes corporations. Ha! What a joke. What a joke. Who else opposed them? Which other wonderful, fine person with no questionable background voted against them? Who's the other senator from California? I don't even know if we have another senator. I don't have a senator from California. She's a senator from Pacific Heights. Feinstein opposed Tillerson's nomination, saying Exxon has a history of undermining American policy. That's a joke. Yeah, undermining American policy. Okay. She's particularly troubled by Tillerson's response to questions during his confirmation hearings about ExxonMobil's business dealings with Iran, Syria, and Sudan. Hey, Difi, does your husband have any business dealings with Iran, Syria, and Sudan? And by the way, are any of those business dealings that your husband has or any of his associates in any way in conflict with those of ExxonMobil? Is that something that Attorney General Jeff Sessions may be looking into according to public documents? I'm just asking, Dianne Feinstein, because you're focusing pretty clearly on ExxonMobil's dealings with Iran, Syria, and Sudan, and since your husband is such a genius, because his fortunes have improved so greatly since you became a chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, I'm just wondering if we can look at the public documents and see if there's any business dealings in your husband's corporation with Iran, Syria, Sudan, Russia, etc., the very nations that you're so concerned about, Dianne. This is something that I think the new attorney general will be interested in. It's that simple, because what goes around comes around. It's that simple, and I would believe that very soon these octogenarian ladies from San Francisco will soon retire, because the heat is going to get too hot in the kitchen for them to continue cooking up their lies. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. So in San Francisco, there's a leaning tower, the Millennium Tower, that's sinking even further. And the poor people who were suckered into buying into that luxury, that luxuriously beautiful tower, are stuck. It's a $750 million tilting tower. it's sinking. And a new article in Bloomberg came out saying residents might be stuck paying for it. Residents might be stuck paying for the fixes themselves. And you got people in there who retired in there into this beautiful building, gorgeous lobby, indoor pools, 58-story. And when it was opened in 08, the tower was said to be the most luxurious tower in San Francisco. It attracted tech millionaires, venture capitalists, and apparently they gave retired San Francisco 49ers football player Joe Montana a deal to get people in there. And a lot of people, you know, you couldn't get in. You could not get in. Well, anyway, they just learned that the building had sunk 16 inches into the earth and tilted over 15 inches at its tip and 2 inches at the base, and it's continuing to move. Now, in Italy, there's a Leaning Tower of Pisa, but it stopped moving hundreds of years ago. Something tells me that the Leaning Tower of San Francisco is not going to stop moving, and it's quite symbolic that as the DNC falls into the mud, so does the Leaning Tower of San Francisco. And that's the rest of the story on the Leaning Tower of San Francisco. And very beautiful. Multiple lawsuits, everyone suing everyone else. The $750 million building could collapse. And God knows what might happen if it collapses. Because right now, if you go, if you're in San Francisco and you look in that direction, down near the Bay Bridge, you see these cranes, these giant cranes near it, lit up at night. They look like the feelers of a dinosaur. They're building a new $1.1 billion Salesforce tower. And it is right next to the building that's falling over. Can you believe this? I don't know how they're going to fix a thing like this, but there's an interesting side note to the story, which I linked from Bloomberg on michaelsavage.com. It caught my attention because this is such a phenomenon, and it's so symbolic of the San Francisco political structure itself, which is falling over, and the Democrat Party, which is falling over. The building itself reminds me of them. But they refer back to a situation that was somewhat similar back in Las Vegas in 1998 when a hotel was built and started to fall into an aquifer. And the genius engineers came up with a method of preventing the building from sinking any further into that aquifer in Las Vegas. And there's discussion now of using a similar fix. And we're talking about the 1998 case of the Mandalay Bay Hotel Casino, which sank almost 19 inches as its weight displaced water from an underlying aquifer. Well, the solution was drilling 536 metal cylinders underneath the casino's 43-story tower, and it stabilized the building at a cost then of between $8 and $10 million. Now I can just imagine this, such a fix here will cost probably at least 100 times more than that. That's what I think is going to happen. That's if it could be fixed at all. But never forget what I say. The Leaning Tower of Pisa, Italy, right? Symbolic, but it stopped moving hundreds of years ago. The Millennium Tower, the Leaning Tower of San Francisco, which I just named it, is only continuing to move, just as the state itself is falling into the mud of its own corruption.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
All right, so here's the story. I just got an email from this group run by the Hollywood actor Ed Asner, the People for the American Way, a Looney Tunes communist-oriented psycho group. So they're trying to get people to stand outside the Supreme Court and at federal courthouses around the nation following Trump's announcement. Before he even announces it, they're already marching and rioting. So now you got to listen to this very carefully to show you how organized these communists are. Are you listening? Thank you for taking to the streets, speaking out loudly and proudly to defend our Constitution and our court, and for being part of history. Diallo Brooks, Director of Outreach and Public Engagement, and there's a big donate button. I told you yesterday that there is a civil war going on in this country, and you're part of it, whether you want to be or not. You have to take a side. And if you took a side by voting for Trump, you got to fight in Trump's war because they're fighting you. They're going to fight you every step of the way. The Schumers, the Pelosis, these psychologically damaged left-wing groups, they're out there, they're organized, they're powerful, and we have to fight them. So they say grab one or two of your friends tonight, show up tonight at the federal courthouse, wave signs and chant about how the Supreme Court must protect all Americans and defend our constitutional rights and values. This is even before Trump announced the person. These lousy, stinking anti-American communists are already rioting. I wrote a book called Trump's War. That is what you need to have in your hand as a rallying cry. That's your new constitution. That's your new weapon. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Or they're going to run you over. That's why I wrote the book. I don't need a new car. I have one. So now let's go back to the topics of the day. Shrinks say Trump mentally ill. And this came up in the New York Daily News today, a very reliable newspaper. And they say for the past few weeks, psychologists, and you know how intelligent and emotionally stable most psychologists are. You know, they have the lowest rate of suicide, they have the lowest rate of drug use, the lowest rate of alcoholism, they have the most stable family life. You know, psychologists. Well, that group of professionals, they say that such professionals called psychologists have been speaking out, arguing that their professional integrity and patriotism can't be silenced. That's a laugh. When have you last met a patriotic psychologist? I've never met one in my entire life. By definition, psychology is unpatriotic, but I'll go into that in a second or two. So a top psychotherapist affiliated with the so-called esteemed Johns Hopkins University Medical School, oh, I'd hate to be a fly on the wall of his bedroom, said that Trump is dangerously mentally ill and temperamentally incapable of being president. The so-called expert from Johns Hopkins, John D. Gartner, went on to diagnose Trump with malignant narcissism. So now there are thousands of shrinks who have joined a group called Citizen Therapists Against Trumpism, and they've released a public manifesto to warn America about its leaders' apparent psychosis. And the psychologist manifesto states, amongst other stupid statements, "We cannot remain silent as we witness the rise of an American form of fascism." Oh, this is so hilariously funny. They've discovered their patriotism. This is great. Now, what are the warning signs of such mental illness? Scapegoating, degrading, ridiculing, demeaning rivals and critics. So let's analyze that together. Now, let's see. Scapegoating is a sign of mental illness. Huh. Didn't Hillary Clinton call us deplorables? Oh, yeah. But it didn't apply to her. Let's see. Degrading comments about her enemies? Ridiculing and demeaning rivals? You mean Obama didn't do that? Fostering a cult of the strong man? Obama didn't do that? Promises to solve our problems if we just trust in him? Obama didn't do that with his rhetoric and his booming voice. Reinvents history? Obama lied about his entire 8 years. You talk about reinventing history. And has little concern for truth and sees no need for rational persuasion. Well, all of this applies to Obama. It applies, frankly, to every politician in the world. So the American Psychiatric Association says that anyone exhibiting 5 of the following 9 egotistical traits has narcissistic personality disorder. Let's count up how many Trump exhibits. And while we're doing it, ask yourself which other politician exhibits these. 1, has a grandiose sense of self-importance. Obama, Hillary, Kerry, exaggerates achievements and talents. Obama, expects to be recognized as superior without commensurate achievements. Obama, 2, is preoccupied with fantasies of unlimited success, power, brilliance, beauty, or ideal love. That only applies to Donald Trump. So look, I can go on and on, and I will, because this is just hilarious. And what's beautiful about it is to think that psychologists have any corner on the market of what is rational. They don't. And that they are suddenly patriotic. They're probably the least patriotic of all professions would be the mental health professionals. The reason I say that is by definition, the current thinking in mental health professional circles is that patriotism itself is a mental illness. Yeah, I study these things. Now, here's a very important story. SF sues over Trump's executive order targeting sanctuary cities. You see the people with dirty skirts and dirty suits, the crumpled leftists with foul breath, the city attorney standing up there trumpeting away that they're going to sue Trump saying the administration's executive order threatening to withhold federal funding from sanctuary cities is unconstitutional. It's hilarious. When you see these corrupt city officials standing up there with their dirty little suits that they bought in a, I don't know, like a leftover store. Look how they, if you ever looked at the people in San Francisco and see the outfits they wear. I mean, even when I was a poor immigrant kid, I wouldn't have worn stuff like this. This was stuff that you threw into a trash bin. Anyway, that's the city I love so much. So here's the city attorney saying, well, not only is it unconstitutional, it's un-American, he said. It's necessary to defend the people of this city against the wild overreach of a president whose words and actions have thus far shown little respect for our Constitution or the rule of law. Now, Trump's executive order blocks federal grants to sanctuary cities. I told you about that last week. $1 billion a year comes from the federal government to this corrupt, rotten, stinking city. That's 10% of the city's budget. So now, this idiot, the city attorney, is saying the 10th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution limits the federal government from interfering on powers reserved to states. All right, well, he's wrong, and here's why the city attorney is wrong once again. This guy was wrong at birth, and he's wrong again. You know, they used to say that even a stop clock is right twice a day. When it comes to the city attorney of San Francisco, that doesn't even apply. There's no twice a day for him. Twice a decade doesn't even apply to Herrera. What do you mean the federal government? The lawsuit limits the federal government for interfering on powers reserved to states. When Barry Obama was breaking our borders, when Barry Obama was flooding America with the flotsam and jetsam of the third world, when Barry Obama was violating every law of the land with regard to immigration, and we were screaming from the rooftops here on the Savage Nation about what he was doing, these very same louts came up and said, you can't interfere on a local level, they said to the states that wanted to block the infected immigrants from coming in with Zika. Shall I spell it out for you? You have no power over immigration, they said. The federal government, all immigration law is reserved for the federal government, they said. Really? Well, Herrera, I guess you don't remember what you said yourself. Not a few months ago, do you? You're wrong. It's going nowhere. It's grandstanding for the flotsam and jetsam that keep rats like you in power. Have a nice day. So I think I'll go back to basics and keep it to the, you know, meat and potatoes. Shrinks say Trump mentally ill, and they gave a certain test. Group of therapists now. They're all patriotic therapists. I don't know where they were all these years that we were having bombs going off. But they gave a test of the American Psychiatric Association. It says that anyone exhibiting five of the following nine egotistical traits has narcissistic personality disorder. And they want you to count up how many Trump exhibits. This was in the New York Daily News today, you know, a literary publication of the highest order. It's actually above any other publication in terms of common sense and rationality. So let's see them, what these nine egotistical traits are that show that Trump's mentally ill. One, has a grandiose sense of self-importance. That didn't apply to Obama. How does it only apply to Trump? Two, is preoccupied with fantasies of unlimited success. Excuse me, didn't Obama say he wishes he could run for another term? Did I miss that somewhere? No, let's go down the list, because the shrinks, as you well know, are the highest level of integrity. Three, anyone who's this ill believes that he or she is special and unique, can only be understood by or should associate with other special or high-status people. Excuse me, you mean Obama hung around with the homeless bums in San Francisco? Or the millionaires and billionaires who feathered their own nests by buying them off like the stooge that he was? Four, requires excessive admiration. That applies only to Trump. Five, has a sense of entitlement. That didn't apply to Hillary and everyone else in politics. Six, is interpersonally exploitative. That's interesting. Is interpersonally exploitative. That applies only to Trump. Seven, lacks empathy. That applies only to Trump. Eight, is often envious of others or believes that others are envious of him. That applies only to Trump. Nine, shows arrogant, haughty behaviors or attitudes. I would say this applies to everyone on the stage at the Academy Awards or the SAG Awards or the American Music Awards or even the Talk Radio Awards. I mean, not just to Donald Trump. So by this definition, to these shrinks, we're all mentally ill. But it was put out as a manifesto by this new group called Citizen Therapists Against Trumpism. And they released a public manifesto to warn America about its leaders' apparent psychosis. And the manifesto says, we cannot remain silent as we witness the rise of an American form of fascism. Oh, I'd hate to be one of their patients. If one of these idiots who created this is your therapist, I suggest you look for a new therapist. The Citizens Therapist Manifesto goes on and says that Trump's deformed ego will lead to an exaggerated masculinity as a cultural ideal. Ooh, you can't have any of those boys running around feeling like boys. You can't have a cult of masculinity in the special forces. No, no, no. What you got to do is advance transsexualism. Coarsening of public life by personal attacks on those who disagree. You mean like Hillary Clinton calling us deplorables? Erosion of the American democratic tradition. You mean like Obama creating the greatest police state in the history of America? In favor of the strongman tradition of power. You mean like the strongman called Barack Obama? So they go on, okay. Trump's psychological damage will in short create the illusion that real Americans can only become winners if others become losers. In other words, if your son excels at baseball, he shouldn't excel at baseball because it makes kids who can't excel at baseball feel bad, right? That's what they're doing, these sickos. And then that normalizes what therapists work against. This shows you why therapy itself is a debunked field. I know somebody very well, I haven't talked to him in years, who has been in therapy for 45 years. Not cured yet. I'm not talking about Woody Allen. He's been in therapy for 75 years and it hasn't cured him yet. He's still a neurotic kvetch, to the best of my understanding. But I know someone who's gone into therapy for his entire life, three times a week. I don't know what he pays him. Never cured him, because therapists don't cure you. They sit and talk to you and take your money, that's all. There's no cure built into therapy. But let's not knock the psychiatric professions. There's room for them, as you well know, only they can't only apply it to conservatives and only to Donald Trump. That's my main point, okay? Now can we move on? Don't call and get defensive about your therapist, if you don't mind. Be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. I'm very happy to live in the craziest state of the union, which is California. Now they want to make the whole state a sanctuary state. It's very interesting to me that the state that continuously told all the other states during Barry Obama's reign of terror that they had no power of authority over immigration laws because that was reserved for the federal government are now declaring the opposite. They're saying, why, it's states' rights, and you conservatives should join us if you believe in states' rights. Well, they can't have it both ways. And I find it also interesting that the San Francisco attorney talks about the Tenth Amendment. Isn't this the same group that had one federal judge, one rotten liberal judge, overturn millions of votes of Californians who opposed gay marriage in the state election? Where was the Tenth Amendment then? And isn't this the same state that overturned Proposition 209 many, many years ago by getting one foul, stinking judge named Thelton Henderson, another rat who came from the ACLU, was given a dirty, filthy black robe, and in that court he became a dictator in a filthy black robe, and he said that the votes of 6 million Californians didn't count, and he overturned it with the stroke of a pen. So don't tell me about dictatorship. I've lived in one for the last 40 years, and I'm damn sick and tired of it. And it's these little petty bureaucrats, these little autocrats throughout the state of California who are now getting a taste of their own medicine, and it's long overdue. Maybe the state can be saved one day. Maybe the people themselves will come to see it. I really don't know. But there's a war going on out there, a true war. And it's not just Trump's war. It's our war. It's the war of everybody in this country who has felt that they had no power in their own city, in their own state, or in the federal government. Those of us who have been marginalized, those of us who have been decried, those of us who have been criminalized, those of us who have been insulted by having been called names such as fascist, right-winger, deplorable, Nazi. It's those of us who find you repugnant, all of you left-wing dictators, who are now getting a taste of your own medicine. You have made us live in shame for the last 10 years. Well, it's time for you to go and live in shame, because you are no longer in charge. Moreover, You'll soon find out that there are a majority of tax-paying citizens in the state of California who actually agree with Trump. You think that it's the illegal aliens who control the state? You are mistaken. They say that in the city of San Francisco, there are over 30,000 non-citizens. I believe it. I believe there are more than 30,000. Now, why do you think that it's people like Feinstein and Pelosi and Herrera and the entire illegitimate left-wing establishment that caters to the non-citizen and spits on the actual taxpayer? It's because they have those 30,000 or 50,000 guaranteed votes. They're unfortunately very poor people who don't speak the language very well and do not even know what they're voting for. And that, my friends, is what Tammany Hall was, and that's what Feinstein Hall is today. It's the same rotten, stinking machine.